The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for texts or ray@rte.ie for emails. Just listen to that man at the end of Liveline. What a holiday from hell. So first of all, couldn't take off because of the sandstorms and then put under lockdown because of a killer disease. And all he needs next is a swarm of locusts. It's a mad situation and unfolding, as Tony Holohan said. And people are buying up the sanitary hand washes. People are buying up non-perishables. People are buying up masks. We found some masks, if you're interested. Seemingly, that, you know, I've read a lot about this over the last few days. They only work if you're trying to contain the disease. So if you have the coronavirus, which nobody in Ireland has yet, well, nobody officially has it yet, that you would wear a mask then to stop spreading it. Of course, you'd be in self-isolation, so you wouldn't have to wear a mask. It doesn't prevent you getting it if you're wearing it from somebody else. That's what they're telling us. And I read loads of scientific research on it over the last few days. But anyway, auto parts, J&S Auto Parts out in Dunleary, for example, they have them for people who are spraying. So that's where you'd get them if you want them, if it makes you feel more at ease, if it gives you peace of mind. That's where you'd get them. Just looking back, because the last time we had a situation like this was 2001 with foot and mouth disease. Remember that? And they cancelled the St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin and all over the country, and Cayleys were cancelled. I remember speaking to a woman on the radio in Killucan. Is that in County Meath or County Kildare? It's on the Kildare-Meath border. And she played us her accordion down the line because she was supposed to be playing at a Cayley the next night and had been cancelled because of the foot and mouth disease. And of course, Ireland versus Wales, that was postponed. I think they played it again in the autumn. And loads of things were cancelled back then. Any big gathering of people, particularly down the country, they were all cancelled. So we have form on this and we know how to handle it, I think. And the theme that I have heard over and over again, listen to all the people on the radio, is don't panic, don't panic. It's like the guy from Dad's Army. Don't panic, don't panic, don't panic. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. Do you know what I did last night? How would you? You wouldn't know what I did last night. I did a course in CPR. I've been meaning to do this for years. And then I witnessed a poor man before Christmas who needed CPR. I wasn't in a position to give it to him. There were two people there who he was lucky enough knew how to give CPR and use a defibrillator. So the man's life was saved. So that then, after it been on a bucket list for a long time, I said, I better do this. So finally, I arranged with the Irish Heart Foundation and myself and David, who works on the show, went out. And Bridget, who's a brilliant instructor, instructed us last night. We did 3 hours of video and practicing, and we did the mannequin, compressions on the chest for 30 seconds, and then you two breaths, and then compressions again. And then you shout to somebody to call emergency services, 999 or 112. And then you get somebody to get a defibrillator if there's one nearby. And then when they come back with the defibrillator, you put the pads on. I found it quite upsetting, oddly, because you have to talk through the whole thing that somebody, and they say that a lot of heart attacks happen in the home. So you're brought to a situation where there's somebody that you love who's close to you. Has a heart attack and you have to do this, well, a cardiac arrest, so you have to do this on them. And I had a sort of a fitful night's sleep last night as a result, because your brain sort of, well, my brain does anyway, it works overtime, and what if, and what if, and what if. And then I thought to myself, CPR course is probably one of the most selfless things you can do, because you'll never be able to do it on yourself, so you're not doing it for yourself. And that's a fact. And so maybe later on in the year, we aimed to this a long time ago, 4 years ago, maybe later on in the year when it comes to CPR Day, we'll arrange something with the Irish Heart Foundation and voluntary organisations around the country and encourage people to go out and do that course. It's a 3-hour course and you walk away from it confident enough that if you are faced with an emergency situation, be it at work or in the home or on the street where somebody collapses and as a result of cardiac arrest, that you would be able to give them the best chance of surviving. And that's what it's about. When you start CPR, you give the person the best chance of surviving. Of course, eventually the ambulance comes and they take up where you've started. Anyway, so thanks to Bridget and Ruth out in the Irish Heart Foundation for facilitating that last night, and more about that and defibrillators and CPR in the future. I didn't realise, and I know, as sure as night follows day, Ash Wednesday follows Pancake Tuesday, but it wasn't on my radar for obvious reasons. But then I noticed people around the office with their ashes on their forehead. And then the conversation started. What are you giving up for Lent? So they did a little survey around the office. One is giving up sugar. One of them is giving up beer. I'm not naming these people for, it'll become obvious at the end. Another's given up chocolate. And two of us are ignoring it on grounds that it has religious connotations. Neve, I can name Neve. She allowed me to name her. Neve has given up Instagram for Lent. So there. There's been a fashion over the last number of years that people do things for Lent, which I think is a very positive thing. You know, they're going to start running. They're going to get involved in a voluntary organisation. They're going to ring a person in their life more often. They're going to be nice to people. I think that's a positive thing about Lent. And OK, it does have its genesis in religion, but it's probably a good thing to do for self-discipline, to decide to do thing for something for 40 days and stick to it. And we started yesterday, so we're going to do it again, just for the crack, just so you're up to speed on this, because we're trying to get you WhatsApp friendly, and particularly WhatsApp voice note friendly. And there's a sentence that wouldn't have existed 10 years ago if I'd said on the radio. We want to get you WhatsApp voice note friendly. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? So we started it yesterday. What we want you to do is put the RT Radio 1 WhatsApp number into your phone. So you take out your phone, you can do it now. Yeah, we'll do it again today. And then maybe one more day and then we're up and we'll assume that you have it there. So take out your phone, unlock it, open it up as if you're going to make a phone call. Now type in the following number. 087 187 9101. 087 187 9101. You got it? 087 187 9101. Now somewhere on the screen when you've typed that in, it says create contact or add to contacts. Press that. Stay with me. Press that, add to contacts. Now you have to name it. Give it a name. So you type in RTE Radio 1 WhatsApp. Hey, you're with us now. You're with us. So we want you to send us a voice note on that. That's how we do it. It feels to me like we've gone back about 20 years. But this is how you do it. This is how you do it. So 087 187 9101. And we want you to tell us what you're giving up for Lent or what you're doing for Lent. And give us a voice note on that. And if you just say your name, you know, how are you, Ray? This is Mary from Limerick. I'm going to start running. I'm going to learn how to swim. I'm going to give up sugar. I'm going to give up tea. I'm going to give up the beer. I'm going to give up the fags. Whatever it is, let us know. 087 187 9101. And we play a few of those out, or a lot of those out, between now and 4:30 today. Also between now and 4:30 today, we have the 5 litres of this year's Operation Transformation, because tonight on the telly is the grand finale. That's where they parade up and down the catwalk, and they show their best bits, and they also show footage from last Saturday's 5K in the Phoenix Park. So we're going to be talking to them all today. We're going to be talking to Shane and Tanya and Lorraine and Andrea and Barry. To see how they've got on over the last 8 weeks, what are the plans for the future, loads of things. And there's big news. There is big news. An exclusive from one of the leaders on the radio today. Exciting. Very exciting. Jarlath Regan is going to be with us after 4 o'clock as well. Funny man, Jarlath Regan, to talk about fatherhood, Brexit, giving up things for Lent and other things. Looking forward to that. So 51551, ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon, weekend and blinding lights. And that's number one in the global Spotify charts, according to my 13-year-old daughter. It's a good tune, but I'd say Aha are already on the phone to their solicitors. I know that's been out since November, looking for compensation for being ripped off. Rick Astley must find Lent hard. I was wondering what... Yeah. Never going to give you up. Aye, very good, very good. Dave in Dublin says, I'm learning Irish again after 50 years since I left school. Amazing how much I remember. And Margaret says, Ray, need to make a point. When you ring 999 or 112, the operator will stay with you until the ambulance arrives so they can talk you through CPR. Yes, I've witnessed that, Margaret, and it's hugely beneficial. And of course, now the brilliant thing with mobile phones, which we wouldn't have had 30 years ago, is that you can put it on speakerphone. If you're on your own, you can put it on speakerphone and the person in emergency services can guide you through the whole process. Not giving up anything. We'll take on something instead, says Aina. Good on you, Aina. Let us know what you're going to take on. And if you want to leave us a voice note, for example, Aina, just you might decide that that's the thing to do for Lent. Get involved in the Radio 1 WhatsApp group of sorts. Send us a voice note to 087 187 9101.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or you can send us text to 51551. Now, tonight on RTE1 at 9:35, if you tune in, you will see the grand finale of this year's Operation Transformation. And to celebrate that and to signpost that, we have the five leaders in. Tanya, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Lorraine, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Shane, good to see you.
Thank you, Ray.
Barry, good to see you.
And me, Margaret.
Andrea, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much.
Yes, and we're on Facebook Live. Facebook Live we are, there you go.
Operation Transformation on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Safe Food.
Wow, 8 weeks, it flew, didn't it, Tanya?
Flew, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It only seems like yesterday when we saw you drinking 12 cans of Coca-Cola a day.
Oh no, that's dead now, Ray. That was ages ago.
Well, 8 weeks ago, you've done brilliantly, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a craving at all?
No, none whatsoever. Even when I woke up Monday morning, slightly hungover, I was fine. I dreaded waking up Monday morning, but no, it was a great feeling not to want to have a can of Coke.
Yeah. How long did it take you to get over the withdrawal symptoms?
About 2 days, but the cravings didn't go away for about 3 weeks.
Because you can't avoid it, can you?
No.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere.
And what do you do? Avert your gaze, cover your eyes, what do you do?
Do you know what now? Even on Sunday I actually opened a can of Coke for someone and just, do you know that noise?
Noise, yeah.
Yeah, opened it and had a smell off and just passed.
Did you?
It. Yeah, yeah.
And I'd say you were salivating and all that and your body was going woohoo, woohoo.
No, do you know what now? I was actually proud of myself that I was able to open it, smell it and
pass it on.
Pass it on.
Move straight to Prosecco.
Straight to Prosecco.
Shh. They got bowled very quick, didn't they, Shane? Bowled very quick.
Oh, they did, mate.
Now, Sunday night was the night, so it was sort of a makeover thing, Lorraine,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, after the 5K on Saturday, we went and we got hair and nails and tan and, you know, all the necessities.
And that was just Barry.
Had to do it, right? Yeah. I knew I was coming into you on Wednesday.
It had to be.
Ship shape.
Yeah. So I was talking to you on Saturday morning. You said you were really looking forward to that part of it.
To the 5K or to the...
No, to the makeover part.
Yeah, I love being pampered. I love getting my hair and nails done. Like, I would have always had my nails done, like, and I haven't worn nail varnish since December, so it was huge just to see my nails not natural again.
Yeah. And your big thing, you'll be known as the Fousey woman, and thank you so much for introducing Ireland to the word Fousey, people outside Cavan. So it's a little treat that's very accessible.
Isn't it's a Fousey is what we would call a Fousey is like even dessert. Do you know, if you had your dinner, you'd eat your dinner up and you'd have a wee Fousey after it.
Right.
Or anything you'd have with a cup of tea.
Right.
But like Fousey toss is around as long as I was a child. I remember the word Fousey.
And they're important in your house because of Mia.
Yeah, she is a high calorie diet, high fat diet. So she would snack a lot on chocolate and crisps.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, that'd be her snacks now. She would eat proper food. But like if I was trying to get extra calories into her now, I'd be giving her a cup of tea there and 3 or 4 bars of chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. She's a little star.
Yeah.
Wait till people see her tonight. She's heavily featured.
Is she?
Yeah, yeah. She's lovely. What age is she?
She's lovely. Mia is 11. She's 12 in July.
Yeah.
She's a great child.
And your three little girls, Tegan, Moya and Sadie.
That's right, yeah.
They're featured as well. They're very cute.
They're adorable, yeah.
Matching pyjamas.
Yeah.
Do you go in and get a job lot? Is that the yourself and Clodagh go in, just three of that?
Yeah, it's usually the case. Yeah, even Christmas Day, it's always the three same dresses, you know?
What ages are they?
You're testing me now. Oh, I'm joking.
Tegan
is 5, Moya's near 3, and Sadie is 1.
Mm.
So it's a busy house, yeah.
And then the wee man.
How do you feel today, Shane? You know, 8 weeks on. I'll be asking everybody the same questions, you know, but just now that I have you straight in front of me.
I feel amazing. I'm a new man, and that's putting it, you know, smallly. I mean, 8 weeks ago I was broken inside. I had no confidence. I'm not healed yet. but by God, am I healing?
Yeah.
And I haven't stopped smiling since the last week. I mean, the weekend was electric, but the last week was just phenomenal. And then for me, the catwalk was great. It was cringe. But my finale was crossing that finish line, because I thought I wouldn't run that 5K. And Carl told me I would. And I shook his hand just to keep him happy, I suppose. He made a pact the previous week.
The truth's coming out now, isn't it?
Carl will be ringing in the next few minutes.
Do you need the coaching?
No, but he did have faith in me. And I crossed the line running with Carl Henry.
And you were the first leader across the line.
I couldn't believe it. I saw a photograph then yesterday, me bawling, crying into Sumi's arms, you know. I was so chuffed. It's the first time I'd say I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
You know?
You were overcome with emotion.
Oh, completely.
Because firstly, it's an emotional day, even if you're not a leader and you're not running the first 5K of your life.
Yeah.
But to add that on top of it, it's...
Just the whole atmosphere, the whole day. Everyone was there for you, but for themselves. People did this journey, you know, for themselves, the 8 weeks, you know, and just to hear everyone's stories and cheering you on. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't say, thank you. I was just like, thumb up all the way through, you know. But it was just, wasn't it, guys? The whole thing.
Yeah, it was lovely.
You look like a different man. Like, I'm just looking at you here as you're talking. You look like a different man. I know you have a bit of the facial hair and all that.
I like it, right?
And I'm sporting my own for different reasons than you now.
Yeah.
I just, because, and I grow hair anywhere I can.
You know? Laziness.
It's not laziness at all. It takes more effort, actually, you'll find. Isn't that true?
Very true. Very true. Yeah. There's upkeep, maintenance, beard oil.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the man shelf is getting comparable to the women's products now at this stage.
So you look different as well, obviously, because you had like a bushy head of hair, bushy beard. So you've been groomed.
Well, in fairness, when we started it, I should have had the haircut just before we started the process of the show. But unfortunately, I missed that day.
Yeah.
So then the show started and I said, look, I'm not going to cut my hair for the next 8 weeks, nor my beard, nor groom it as I would at home. And that's why I looked like an absolute disgrace.
So you're, and I know this because I've watched the episode tonight, so I've seen you in your glory dancing along the catwalk to Another One Bites the Dust, Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was your song, Barry?
Shipping Out to Boston. By the Dropkick Murphys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What was yours, Shane?
Dirty Dancing, Time of My Life.
Yeah. Did you get to choose it yourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you choose, Lorraine?
Crazy Nights by Kiss.
Right. And Tanya?
Spice Girls.
Tell you what I want. Lorraine, you look like you regret your choice.
No, I don't regret it. I just got it very hard to pick a song.
Yeah.
Any song that I kind of wanted to pick was gone already or been used before.
All right.
So it wouldn't have been my choice, but it was grand. It was fine.
Okay.
Didn't hear it.
So back to you, Barry, because they play it out again when Carol, your first weigh in, and Carol says you're the tallest and heaviest ever leader on Operation Transformation. So did that inspire you to work a little bit harder, or where did it put you?
I know I'm tall. And I know I don't mean that as a kind of a funny thing, but like, you know, I'm 6'7". I'm not the average person. Carl also said that day that I'm 16 and a half stone of muscle.
Right.
So what most people weigh who are overweight and on the show, I carry on my body as muscle.
Right.
So like through discussions and all the rest of it, Carl said a healthy BMI is 22 stone for me. So realistically, I was only 7 stone overweight. You know, so when like, yes, they are very big numbers, but...
Yeah. And people will see tonight that your end of season weight loss, big numbers as well.
Yeah.
Big numbers.
Yeah. I admit it to anyone, kind of midway through the show, I kind of took the foot off the gas and kind of slacked, and I have no problem telling that to anyone. I did. I got a good kick in the proverbial and back onto it and continued with the numbers that they should have been.
And of course, the other first was that yourself and Andrea are the first married couple to be leaders on Operation Transformation.
Yeah.
There is a transformation, Andrea. I won't. Well, if people are watching on Facebook, they will see it, but I'm not going to give it away so people will see it tonight.
Yeah.
It's a very obvious transformation without giving
not
it away.
Pregnant. Not pregnant. Not pregnant.
Mom is listening. She'll be like, relax. It's all good.
No, it's a cosmetic change.
Yeah. Just in case people start wondering.
Yeah, and not permanent, yes, not permanent.
No.
Yeah. So remind us then, who went in first? Who dived into the operation?
I signed up first.
You,
and then just, I said it to Barry, listen, this is
they're looking now, so it'd be worthwhile. I didn't know, like, they never had taken a couple, so they would probably have to apply separately. So I gave him, he needs time just to think. And then the next day he's like, yeah, I'm in. And he applied himself during the day. And then we got a call, and we, like, they did say they'd noticed the name, and like, oh, are you a couple? I was like, yeah, but obviously we'll do it separately. And they're like, well, would you do it together? And we're like, yeah, sure. But we honestly didn't know we could be a couple until the top 20, because when we got there then, there was Lorna and Owen, who were from Limerick. They were the other couple, and they kept saying couples. We're like, all right, well, we're either in as a couple or we're not in at all. Yeah. So yeah, we figured out then.
I'm going to give away one quote from tonight.
Okay.
And it's your quote when you saw Barry in all his finery.
Yeah.
And you said, handsome isn't a good enough word to describe Barry.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's lovely.
He's a handsome boy.
Because I suppose I said it at the start that, and I think Katya reminded me that if we could see each other, we could see ourselves the way we see each other, we'd be flying it. We wouldn't have any confidence issues. And I've always loved him from 29 stone to when he is now. And even though I can see the improvement, it doesn't make me love him any more, any less. I always thought he was awesome and handsome. So yeah,
that's lovely. You're a lovely couple.
Thank you.
And I saw you just holding hands there across the table, which is a lovely thing to do, yeah. Because sometimes when people are in public, you know, the PDA, public displays of affection, they're reluctant to do that.
No.
Yeah, but you know, you see elderly couples walking down the street, you know, and you see black and white photographs, and you know, the leaves are falling in the trees, and there's people walking down holding their hands, you know, and they go, "Oh, that isn't that cute? Well, why can't people do that?"
Yeah.
You know, and just be happy, and it's not, you know, there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah,
holding hands is everywhere.
Lorraine is holding hands with Shane there.
He's going to start rubbing his leg there as well. Leave him alone.
Claude will be after you.
So there were a lot of tears right up until, like, there's a lot of tears tonight. A lot of tears tonight. Tears of joy, tears of relief, I suppose. Your family gets the award for more cheery family tonight, anyway, Tanya. Yeah.
The loud dem Cork ones.
Yeah, a lot of tears. So the toughest time then over the last 8 weeks, Lorraine, for you, what was the, because you had a couple of failed targets, you know, it was tough, wasn't it?
Don't rub it in there, Aaron.
No.
I did, yeah. My first week I lost nothing, and then I did lose, and then I had another week where I was meant to lose two and I lost one, and I was disappointed with that. And then I had another week where I lost nothing. So yeah, my weight loss was very slow. But what I learned from that was, it was something more important, that it's not all about the scales. You have to think about everything that's coming. And I knew that by my clothes and that I had lost weight, that what the scales was telling me was one thing, but I knew that I had toned up an awful lot more, and, you know, I could see changes in my body. So, so I had an awful lot of fights with myself over the scales. Mm. And then one day I decided, right, enough of them scales. I'm not even passing remarks on what they say. I'm going to start looking at myself. And that's what I started doing. I started looking at myself in the mirror and just seeing that I had change.
And the change in how you feel is probably more important, I think.
Yeah, but I've had so many changes, like, and I've had, it hasn't all been about weight for me. Lucky enough, like, because I haven't lost, like, a serious amount of it.
Stop laughing, Tanya.
So she gave up chocolate, did you know that, right?
She won.
Oh, yeah, not a word about that. Lorraine gave up chocolate, not a word about that. But Tanya did give up Coke now.
All right.
We all know that, don't we? Yeah. I had a massive amount of changes. But when we started, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I actually thought I was disgusting. And I genuinely mean that. Mm. Like, if I was standing looking at myself in the mirror after a shower, there'd be nothing I'd like. Whereas now I'm kind of going, yeah, that's all right. And no, that's all right. And I'm really in love with this muscle in my arm.
Look at that. Look at that gun.
Like, I'm love. Do you know what I mean? But did you try to kiss that? Do you think I need a license for those? but I am. And I'm really appreciating that. And I have so many different changes in my life.
And describe how you feel different.
How I feel different.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I can very easily, I'm alive. I feel alive. I feel that my spare time is I have to do something in my spare time. I have no interest in sitting around the house doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yesterday we sat and we watched a movie. I sat and watched a movie with the kids because it was snowing outside, and I said, oh, we'll just sit and watch a movie. And we watched Charlotte's Web. Mm-hmm. I hadn't watched that in years, and it was just lovely just to sit and relax. But have I an interest in doing that all the time? Absolutely not. I was into watching box sets and sitting all the time, and it was such a bad... I was going down a very slippery road. And that's the way I feel it. And now I'm not. I'm alive.
Yeah.
I'm buzzing.
Hey! Energy levels. What about your energy levels, Shane?
Oh, that's through the roof. Yeah. I mean, I'm sleeping much better now. Prioritising different things in my day, you know. No, like the scales are one thing, but it's an overall transformation for each of us, I think, you know, and we all feel great. Mm. You
know? One of the big moments over the last 8 weeks was when you announced that you'd cancelled some of your arrangements with some of the mm-hmm. musical societies around the country.
Yeah.
I thought that was a big move for you because you were completely immersed in it, and it was, I suppose, it was part of who you were.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I suppose, you know, one of the tasks I had 2 weeks ago was to, you know, for me and Chloe to sit down and say, what's our schedule this week when this is over? And it was just go, 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 go. And I was like, this whole journey is even pointless if I'm back to this again for the next how many years, whatever. So then I decided to kind of just, something needs to go, something did give. And it broke my heart. I hate saying no to anybody. That's always been me. But I just had to let go of something, you know. So already my schedule is like, I can breathe a bit more, you know.
And how does it feel a few weeks on?
Great. You know, we have been given the tools to survive now. And we're not finished. The journey is only getting going, mm. you know.
And you came out and spoke about your mental health. And when you spoke to me in here, you said you got a lot of response. Have you got more response over the last
Unbelievably.
While?
I mean, you know, for me, you know, the big thing on the journey was it's okay to not be okay. And being a teacher, a male teacher in an all-girls school, I was terrified of my students seeing, oh, Mr. Farrell in that light, you know, or even all my colleagues and all the shows seen, you know, you're always happy, go lucky, you know, when they see you, but deep down, do they know how bad I really was, you know? But since that day, it's like a weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah.
And people have got in touch privately and said, thank you for telling your story. Because of that, they have since gone and got help.
Right.
You know, so if that's helped one person, that's good enough for me, you know? Mm.
So, like, it was intense. I can, you know, I've been across it a few years now. It's a very intense experience. There's somebody sort of nearly living in your house with you, the camera person who's recording your every move. You have to give a lot of yourself. And now it's after tonight, the end.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the future?
Like, the show ends tonight.
Yeah.
Our journey don't end.
That's important.
No, isn't it? I still have at least another 2-3 stone that I want to lose. So, like, show ends tonight. My journey doesn't end.
Okay.
You know, we need to carry on. We need to get to our goal. Mm. And I think everyone has a goal, what weight they want to get to. Mm. Like, so
Winston Churchill said, you know, this is the end of the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This isn't the end. This isn't the start. This is the end of the beginning. The journey's, this is only the start of the journey.
You've been given a good push off.
Yeah. But it's like, as Shane said there, like, it's, Operation Transformation only gives you the tools,
mm-hmm.
you know,
it's
what
exactly
we do with
kickstart. You know?
Yes, yeah.
That we need. It gives us the tools. It gives us the kickstart. It gets it. You know, we learn so much in that 8 weeks and how to, like, carry on and do it for ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. It has to be, because otherwise, it's a waste of time. Mm-hmm. And I mean that with all sincerity. It is a waste of time if we don't learn from our 8 weeks and the hard graft that we all put into it. You know,
yeah.
What, like, we don't necessarily have to do 5Ks every week or, you know, marathons or anything, but we need, like, not being funny, but Tanya gave up the coke, chocolate, ex's family, you know, regained with the family. We started learning what portion control was. There are four people sitting around a table with four very different experiences that are happily shared with the nation.
Yeah.
So
it's life changing.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
you were great leaders. And that's just blown, you know, smoke up your, you know, you were great leaders. And I think people really engaged with you, identified with you, and you were very strong. And I think when people see fallibility on the telly and you are so honest that they go along with you.
And for them as well, I think we owe it to all the listeners and to everybody that followed the programme. I think we owe it to them, like, for even our next 8 weeks, to show them how good we can get.
Yes.
Another 8 weeks, that's 16 weeks. And okay. I think it's very important that they see us keeping going, because I think that'll push every, you know, so many other people on.
Keep the momentum going.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking to the five leaders of this year's Operation Transformation ahead of tonight's grand finale, but we'll speak to some more. But first, we have to take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, we've Tanya, we've Lorraine, we've Shane, we've Barry, and we've Andrea from Operation Transformation tonight, 9:35 on the telly, the grand finale. Somebody says, can we get that man fit and on the Irish rugby panel as a big impact sub? That's from Wild Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy. I think I wouldn't want to have been out and tricking him last Sunday either.
No. Your aspirations aren't on the rugby field now, they're in the boxing ring, I believe.
Yes, very much so. What was it, week 4 or 5, Carl Henry said, would I consider getting down to boxing just to get a cardio and a bit of impact, and loved it. And right. History has been written. I am now a signed up member of Tucker Boxing Club in Cork, and getting my medical cert to do amateur boxing in the next couple of weeks to go boxing.
Right.
So I have to retire at 41. You have to hang up the gloves.
And what age are you?
I'll be 40 in July.
Right,
so
right.
So I've
right.
only got a year. I'm not going to go pro or anything.
You could go
year.
Undefeated though, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's one fight and walk and hang up the gloves and never see the inside of a ring again. Yeah. So I absolutely love it. It's the coaches down there, they just push. They make you give that extra 10% that you didn't think you had.
Will you have anybody who's willing to get into a ring with you?
Well, Ray, I'm here today. I'm here today.
Yes.
Well, Ray, you're more than welcome to come in.
No, you're fine. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
You offered it to Carl.
I'm busy that evening.
Yeah. Carl turned me down. Did he? Said no. You're saying no.
Yeah.
I don't know who's left to go.
Is there anybody out there who'd like to get into a boxing ring?
Amateur. Amateur.
Barry Ray. You have a good name as well, don't you? A good boxing name.
Yeah. There could be a few.
Few Sugar names, Ray, there. Barry Ray.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would have to be low calorie sugar.
Just on a serious note, because you spoke about your mental health as well.
Yes.
And you've been to counselling. I think this is really encouraging for men, because we hear over and over again how men, particularly Irish men, are very reluctant to talk about their feelings and to share sort of, you know, when they're a bit vulnerable. But both of you have done it on national television, which is great. So it's very encouraging for other men. What have you got any reaction like, Shane?
Not as much as Shane.
No.
But it is, it's almost embarrassing, really, you know, from a nation that we don't do it, you know, that more men aren't like, you know, we all talk about how hard it is. Like sometimes it's harder to sit down in front of someone going, as Shane said, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I'm really not okay. And I need help. You know, as I said, like if you have a toothache, you don't sit in the corner and go, oh, yeah, it's grand, it's going to go away on its own. It doesn't go away on its own. Mm. It only gets worse and you end up having to go in. Thing. Mental health is the exact same thing. Yeah. And if you don't actually look at the root of the problem,
easy up.
It's going to keep eating you up, and you are carrying baggage.
Yeah.
Baggage. And I think it was one of the, you know, I would still consider that I would suffer from depression even now. I don't think you'll ever finish with it, unfortunately. But I know I have the tools from my time with counselling to deal with it. I know how to kind of nip it in the bud a little earlier. What would have taken 3 or 4 days to shake off, now it's gone in, you know, a few hours. You know, and Andrea can see it. She can see the changes in it. But
and what about the changes over the last 8 weeks, Andrea?
In terms of?
In Barry, just in Barry as a man, as a person.
Yeah, it's been good. A lot more active. And I'm glad he's found the boxing, because we both have separate injuries. So I knew he wouldn't last with the walking and the running. It wouldn't be good for him. So I'm delighted he's found boxing. It's really been a kind of a game changer.
These two have the filthiest minds. The minute you said more active, their face just went.
Well, Tanya is giggling away there. She was the woman who took Tanya the Fitbit off on that date.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be talking.
Oh, yeah.
Ching, ching.
Yeah. I still want to know what happens if you wear a Fitbit while, you know.
I don't know. I just wanted to.
She didn't want to scare Carl. She just didn't want to scare Carl.
Is he connected?
Oh, he's connected.
Is he connected on the Fitbit?
Yeah.
Our email address, when Fitbit gave us these watches, they gave us a new email.
Right.
And they had all our passwords, so all the information.
Carl can see.
But he can't monitor you live, can he?
Yeah.
He could if he wanted to.
Could he?
Yeah.
There's GDPR implications for that.
Oh, no, I know. When we signed, when we signed that piece of dotted line, I'm sure that went out the window.
Yeah. Will you continue to wear the?
Well, we're going to change the. I already tried, but if I hold the email,
just be careful. This could go downhill very quickly here.
So, the new house is that going to happen this year?
Summertime, yes. Hopefully, yeah.
Right, this is a big year for the Dewey, isn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant to get in because obviously, usually you don't get to go in at that stage, but we confuse them so much with how we changed the layout of the kitchen and stuff that they said, please come in and just mark where you want sockets and stuff because we completely did a different kitchen because we wanted up higher for us.
Yes.
So it's kind of about extra, about that much added on to a normal kitchen counter. So we got to go in and have a look around. So hopefully, fully done maybe by August.
And I know, I'm sorry about this, Barry, because you're probably bored and annoyed with questions about your height. But because we're talking about your new house, is the door frame, is that a consideration?
No. Right. Door frames are, all door frames are standard.
8 foot, are they? No.
No.
7 foot.
Six foot eight.
All right, but you.
Yeah, I can get underneath most of them, but the internal ones then are 6'7".
Right.
And I guarantee you the phone lines will be hopping there. No, he's wrong. No, he got that wrong. But no, it's like door frames. Some door frames I can clip my head in.
Yeah.
And I just have to duck in another.
And Andrea, there's a very moving moment tonight when your mum says that she's proud of you.
Yeah.
And the both of you are in tears.
She always starts crying. She gives out to me, she's like, don't cry. And then she starts crying. And then when I see her crying, I cry.
Yeah.
It's a pair of us at it.
Because people sort of tuned into the relationship between you and your mother. Why do you think they did that?
I suppose because Irish people and their mammies, it's kind of an Irish mammy joke. But I always got on very well with my mum. And I suppose what kind of annoyed me in a couple of clips is that for a 10-second comment, she was getting a ton of heat for it, that my mum has always sandwiched something, so I knew she said something lovely at either end, but they just showed that one
and
bit.
The one in the middle,
it's
yeah.
all how it's edited, which is fair enough, but I knew that she, as she said, I looked beautiful on my wedding day. I didn't feel it, and I get where she was coming from. But like then they showed her kind of chatting about it, and I knew she was okay. So when she was okay, that was fine then. But I always had a great relationship with my mum, and I still do.
I sort of regret saying to you when we were down in Cork that would you get the wedding photos redone? That's not a real thing, or is it a real thing? Or
not now, because like as Tanya said, we all have our own goals, and Catherine asked me, and like I know I want to be about 13 and a half stone, so I have another 5-ish, if not more, to go. Okay. So that's going to take me a year or so, and 22 is kind of the starting target for Barry. So as this, like as Tanya said, this is the best start.
Okay.
On a kind of a plan, but we're nowhere near where we want to be yet.
So speaking of targets, Shane, because you spoke a good bit on the show about the surgery, and you had to get down to a certain weight.
Yeah.
Have you reached that weight?
No, I mean, my goal was to lose 2 stone in the show, and I did a lot more than that, which I was thrilled about. You know, they want to see 14 stone on the scale. I mean, that's not going to happen, I don't think. In my head, if I can get to 16 stone, the wheels might get going for on a list. You know, and Carol told me if I can give this plan the same 12 weeks after I gave it ready, I could get on a list. And I'm like, in my head, no, this is at least next year. And he's saying 12 weeks, I could get onto a list to get things moving. I mean, who knows, maybe by Halloween, I could be out in Belgium having the surgery, which would be...
And it's going to be tougher, isn't it, without the cameras and without being monitored and without aiming towards a weekly weigh-in. Yeah. You've thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
And what sort of plans have you put in place?
I suppose I love the workouts in school. School were phenomenal with me. You know, we worked out after school back in my community in Loughrea. We met up with dance classes. Like, I love music, just can't dance. But the crack we had doing dance classes, and actually I burned more calories in some of them classes than I did than anything else. So going to keep it real, keep it fun, you know. And exercise can be fun. And for me to say exercise is fun, I mean, geez.
It must be.
You know?
Who are you? Yes,
so, like, between that now and my 30th in September, which would be a Lycra team party.
We burn the Lycra.
For everybody else, no. We can wear ordinary clothes. Yeah.
All the experts have to wear Lycra.
would you, your catwalk performance is... Oh, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, no.
Who do you think, if you got the 3 judges in from Dancing with the Stars, who do you think would have got the most votes for their entrance tonight on the grand finale?
I think Shane.
Shane did very well.
Yeah. Yes,
Shane rocked it.
Yeah.
You rocked.
No, I like the way you moved too, Andrea. I thought you moved pretty slick.
Thanks very much.
To another one that mites the dust.
Yeah. Mm.
Can I tell them you wore a black leather jacket? Oh, I've just done that.
No, I love Queen, so it had to be a Queen song.
Yeah.
Narrowing it down was the hard part.
Right. Now, there is
a big reveal tonight. There is a big reveal tonight. And we've been in negotiations with the producers of Operation Transformation, and they've said that we can announce it on the show. Of course, the pictures are, you know, are a lot more impressive than what we can do now. But Tanya.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Yes. You are very good.
Yes.
So you are carrying a little bit more weight than you did
just
on Sunday.
Bit.
Yeah. How long have you gone out with Mark?
Nearly 9 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were so lovely together. People have seen that. And he was so supportive of you. Mm. When did you meet? How did you meet?
I met Mark online on site called Tagged. I says, don't even exist now.
Right.
Yeah.
And you had that brilliant first date. Four cans upstairs in his house.
Thanks for that. Yeah, it just ruined the moment there.
You just got shot doing there.
Yeah.
He sort of the strong silent. Is that, that's what I got from strong silent type? Is that a good description, bad description?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly where Mark is. Yeah. Well, he's great. Hmm. Pardon?
Very good housekeeper. Very good cook.
Yeah.
He's just brilliant.
All the things you want, makes you laugh.
Yeah.
Brings you on dates when he's forced into it by a production company.
Poor Mark.
Yeah. So one of the things you said that you would love to marry Mark.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes. Mm. So on Sunday night, looking at all my VT going back in the last 8 weeks, and Mark came on saying how he was proud of me, and he just said, can you turn around? I have one more question to ask you. And there he was, down on one knee.
Woo! Give me a guy. Look at that. And you had picked this out 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, how did that work?
So we were going to get engaged back 5 years ago, and it's nearly the exact same ring that it's not the ring,
yeah.
But it's nearly the exact same ring that I picked out 5 years ago. Okay. So
had you any idea what
none
was going to happen?
Did
your mum know?
Do you know what? I was afraid to turn around because in my head I was like, oh, he's going to propose. Imagine if I turned around, he was just standing there like with flowers. Do you know? I was so scared to turn around. It was...
Yeah, because he's on the big screen, just head and shoulders.
Yeah.
They recorded it down in Cork somewhere.
But do you know what? When I was looking at that screen, I was like, that's not my house. Because I remember Mark done his... done piece in the kitchen, and I had to leave the house, and I was looking, I was like, that's not my house, do you know, that's all I can remember is that after that the whole thing is blank. Yeah. I won't be long being reminded.
So you're looking at the screen, he's on the screen, and he says, yeah, turn around, of one last question. He turned around, and on the catwalk,
yeah,
he's on one knee.
Oh. Yeah. And I haven't told no one, like, no one.
You have now.
But I haven't got to enjoy the last 2 days, so
because you couldn't tell anybody. Yeah, now you can tell everybody. Oh, congratulations. And celebrations.
Yeah. There was a moment, and I just kind of realised it there when Tanya turned around, and during the day she goes, God's sake, I'm last again.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, it turned out like, we obviously, when the news broke, it's like, that's why she
had. Like, when you're waiting out back, it's such a long time to go on, of course. I'm an extremely nervous person, so like the sweat was pouring off me. Yeah. Everything, you know, they'd keep redoing the makeup, and I was saying, why am I always last?
So we offered to swap and everything, going, oh, that's not fair, because we knew she was really nervous about the catwalk.
Yes.
And did she know this was going to happen?
No.
We all said, leave Tanya go first, she'd be fine. Oh, yeah, like, yeah, no, yeah, she can't go first.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And any plans for a wedding?
Yes, so we've set a date for the 27th of August this year.
Ooh.
Yes, so...
We're all bridesmaids.
Yeah. You can be my page boy.
That'd be so small. So thin.
Well, he's the youngest.
Yes. Yeah.
Barry can give you a lend of a pair of shorts.
And what about Abby? Would she be a bridesmaid?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Abby, yeah.
Yeah.
And my friend Mary, of course.
Yeah.
What about me?
I told you could be flower girl.
All right.
You're holding hands again. Yeah.
She at me.
You and Oren.
So what did you say when the cameras had stopped rolling and you had a bit of peace and quiet with Mark?
I couldn't believe he'd done it because he said that he was going to do it on date night. And he said, no, he'll hold off for another while. Because Mark is a very quiet person. And he said, no, he just had to do it then. He said he couldn't leave the opportunity pass without doing it.
Yeah.
of course, like, I'm over the moon, he done it, so.
He set the bar very high, hasn't he?
And it was lovely.
Yeah.
It was so nice. It was I just remember
left the,
the leaders, like, screaming, running towards me. It was brilliant. Oh, it topped everything off for me.
Yeah.
Now Barry copped it. Barry said, he says, Mark's going to do something. Look at him, he's white, he's pale over there.
He was pale.
Yes, right from the start, the poor man.
He didn't
so
even
nervous.
Eat that day. Didn't eat, didn't drink, nothing. And I don't know if he could even get up off the ground.
Oh, that's amazing. That's brilliant. You'll have to pick a first dance song now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. Yeah.
Two become one.
There you go.
Soppy, nice soppy, one. Soppy. So tonight, 9:35, it's the grand finale of Operation Transformation. And they're already looking for people for next year, I believe. So I think people will be inspired by your experience and what you've told us today to get involved. Would you recommend it, Andrea?
Definitely. It's the best kickstart you'll ever get. Definitely worth it.
100%. It is commitment. It's a huge commitment. And, you know, you won't, it's hard to explain it until you walk a mile in the shoes, but it's so worth it. Definitely, there was so worth it.
Yeah, go for it. Do it for you.
You say that Operation Transformation saved your life.
Literally.
Right.
You've no idea.
Well, that's, you can't get a better recommendation than that. Lorraine.
Yeah, I just think, and anybody that's out there that doesn't have, you know, a lot of weight, but has gone down a slippery slope, like, and putting on, you know, pounds every year, like, they should apply as well. Like, just because you don't have loads doesn't mean you're still in a, you know, you can still be in a bad place. So 100%, if anyone out there, enter.
And you never know, your longtime partner might propose to you.
Yeah, you never know. Go for it.
Go for it. Oh, Andrea, thank you. Barry, thank you. Shane, that's right. Thank you. Lorraine, thank you. Tanya, congratulations again. Yay! The Operation Transformation leaders.
Thanks.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Now, what are you giving up for Lent? Valerie in Galway says, I've decided to give up giving out. Good on you. Wendy says, I have suggested to my family to be climate aware this Lent, so we are going to try and not buy new things until Easter, such as clothes or luxury items, and try and buy food that is not packed in plastic packaging. It'll be hard, says Wendy. And let's go to Jay, Fionn and their mum Niamh, who sent us this voice note.
Hi, I'm Jay.
Hi, Jay.
For Lent, I'm giving up biting my nails and fizzy drinks.
Ah, good one.
Hi, I'm Fiona, and I'm going to be giving up bad language.
And hi, I'm their mummy Niamh, and I'm giving up comparing myself to others. Thank you. Bye.
That's a tough one, Niamh. Good luck with that, Rosemary.
Hi, Ray. My name is Rosemary MacDonald Charbonnier. I'm listening to you in my little kitchen in a village in France near Lyon. Mm-hmm. And I've decided for 6 weeks, I'm going to try very hard to praise my husband and to stop giving out to him. Thanks, Ray.
Merci, Rosemary. And finally, Kathy.
Hi, Ray. Kathy here. This year, for the third year running, I'm going to do the 40-day wardrobe challenge, which involves every day taking one item of clothing from your wardrobe, placing it in a charity bag. So at the end of it, you have a nice clear wardrobe and you have a nice bag of clothes for your charity. It starts off really easily. Well, I didn't really like that jumper anyway, but by the end of it, you're kind of putting one sock, two sock. You get the picture?
I do.
Bye, Ray.
See ya. Bye. That's Cathy there, the 40-day wardrobe challenge. Haven't heard of that before. And Megan and Aidan in Galway says, in our house, the hubby has given up all sweets and chocolate. I get a free pass this year because I'm 8 months pregnant and the cravings wouldn't be worth the hanger that I experience. Ah, I see. Yes, the hanger. Hanger. Hangry, isn't it? That's when a mixture of hunger and anger. Hungry, hanger. That's it. Megan and Aidan in Galway. Good luck with that. Emma says, I'm giving up roller skating. I broke my ankle doing it, so definitely no more. Now, pieces of the Rainbow Warrior ship sunk by French intelligence officers back in 1985. Remember the Greenpeace Rainbow Warrior ship? Well, anyway, pieces of the ship are among 100 objects linked with famous protests and acts of solidarity that are going on display in Dublin city centre. The exhibition, which is titled Irish Global Solidarity in 100 Objects, will launch this evening, and organiser Tony Daly joins us on the line. How are you doing, Tony?
Hanging in there, Ray. We're almost there.
Yeah, you're almost there. How long has it taken you to get all this stuff together?
You know, Ray, this has been in the works since, well, probably starting about a year ago. And we've been living with it ever since.
Mm. What's the name of your organisation?
The organisation I work for is called 8020, Educating and Acting for a Better World. And we're a small human rights education charity based out in Bray.
Right. How did it all come about? Whose brainchild is it?
Well, this is an interesting one, Ray. The usual kinds of conversations that occur in spring are about doing spring cleaning. And at different points in time, we keep occurring and finding amazing things that remind us of different struggles of the past and remind us of things that we were involved in. And these conversations have led to a number of people coming together to see what others might have in their boxes up in their attics. And the answer is it's pretty interesting.
Okay. Well, talk us through some of the exhibits then.
Absolutely. There's a number of fascinating stuff that have been submitted. We had an open call and very much objects were coming in from across the country. We have a sea kayak from the Shell to Sea campaign in the west of Ireland. We've got the Countess Markovich. She's installed on 16 Clare Street. We also have somebody who was working for Concern, Michael Doherty. He was someone working for Concern who had landmines in the back of his car that were replicas as part of education work across the country in the 90s. And we have those original wooden landmines that you have to look twice when you see them. And we have a famous quilt. That
Tony, it's a terrible line there. Now, in case we don't get you back up, I'll just tell people. So it's Irish Global Solidarity and 100 Objects. It's on from tonight, 16 Clare Street in Dublin, which is where the Greens Bookshop used to be. People will know that. We'll take a break and try and get you back up. But if you don't, at least people know where to find you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We have an Irishman abroad at home. Jarlath Regan, good afternoon.
How are you, Ray? How
good
are you?
I'm good. Are you giving up anything for Lent?
I said this to someone today, like what you have to ask yourself, what do you need to give up? Like, we all know the things that you could give up, but the question is, what do you need to give up?
Right, go on.
And like, I probably just buying rubbish, spending money willy-nilly and then turning down the fellow with the bucket.
Yeah.
So that's what I think I'm going to commit to, is just that little bit more thought about.
I was thinking about this today, right? Because when you spend money and you make a purchase, whether it be in a shop or online, you do get an endorphin hit.
Big time.
Yeah.
And what is it? Dopamine.
Dopamine, yeah, endorphin.
That's it.
Dopamine. They're all the
same
thing. Yeah,
it's all coming out of the same place.
Yeah, it all makes us feel good, gives us a buzz. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
So I've discovered that you get the same little hit even if you go out and buy a couple of batteries. So what I've started doing is looking around the house. So bulb. So I go down to the shop and buy a bulb, and not only am I satisfying that little craving for a purchase, but I'm also fixing something around the house.
Yeah. No,
it's not a big purchase.
And what would be the thing?
And it's functional.
You would buy that you'd really like to buy that. What are you buying the batteries and bulb in the place of? What's your weakness, Ray? Cycle gear.
No, it's not cycle gear at all. I've never been that person. I've never been a mammal, really. That's all functional. It'd be sort of old school technology, you know.
Yeah.
Record decks.
Love a bit of that stuff.
That's
all driven by, I couldn't have it then, but I can have it now.
It's not actually, I had it then. I just sold it. What you just witnessed there, ladies and gentlemen, is Jarlath Regan doing what he does on his podcast. This is my show, Jarlath. Yeah. I ask the questions. I'll allow you one maybe, but definitely not two.
Yeah.
Right, so you're doing a gig and you're filming it. Is this I can't believe this is the first time you've filmed the gig.
Yeah, like, look, there's a reluctance, isn't there, to kind of commit things to not celluloid anymore, but to kind of lock it in and go, that's it. It's the same kind of thing that people struggle with books over. Is this really what you want to leave as the thing? This will hang around for a bit. But this is a show I've written called Notions 11 that I kind of debuted here in Dublin at the Dublin Fringe. In its first iteration, I was like, this is a good show. So I was like, yeah, let's film this one and make this the thing.
Do you film the same show over a couple of nights or a few nights or just one?
I would do. The plan here is to do half of this on this night and then probably write a lot more and come back with another show to Vicar Street and wear the same clothes.
All right.
Shoot that as well. That's the plan in my head anyway.
There was a time in the lead up to Christmas that, you know, hundreds of thousands of DVDs, yeah, comedy DVDs, were being sold in this country. That doesn't happen anymore.
Oh, completely.
So where will this end up?
Well, I guess the hope is on a streaming service. I can't really talk about that right now, but that is the hope.
And we're here till 4:30. So I hope there isn't a number of things you can't talk about because we're,
but you know,
we're in trouble.
You have, we all know where you want to see it. And
Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, that's where everybody wants to be because it opens you up to the world. I mean, if you think about it, that DVD thing was has been replaced by that, yeah, you know.
And it was quite parochial. Mm. Like, although there was hundreds of thousands of them bought, but it was parochial. Oh, you wouldn't have got outside Ireland. What's the process then with a Netflix thing? Do they not commission from you, or can you go and offer them your wares?
This is the stuff that I didn't want to talk about.
All right. sorry. I can move on if you want.
It's different for everybody.
Right.
And I know that a few of my friends have shot things on their own speed, the way they want it done, and then presented it. And that's always been how I've done things. And in many ways, the Irishman Abroad podcast was me coming to RTE and saying, I have an idea for a show. RTE saying, we can give you a fiver.
That's not true.
It is 100% true. And I remember going to another friend of mine in broadcasting saying, Jar, podcasting, it allows anybody who wants to do it, to do it. Mm. And off it went. And so I kind of taken that. My wife would always say it to me as well, that when it comes from your initiative, it always works out better rather than waiting for the fellow with the big cigar to say you can do it. It's the kind of way of...
You're in control.
Yeah.
We all want control over our lives.
Mm.
Some of us more than others, Charlotte.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that stand-up in a nutshell is that, you know, lack of a buffer. You think of the idea and you can go on and
say it
straight away. Mm. Present it for assessment is one way of looking at it, but another way is like, I know they're going to like this. You have a good instinct, Ray, yourself. You know it's great radio, you know, but you still got to run it by a few people. With stand-up, you just don't. You just go, right, let's go. This happened on the way here. I mean, that
did something funny happen to you on the way here?
Well, I was actually talking to Circa, who's been helping me with the promotion and everything on this, and we were agreeing that what people remember from stand-up shows is rarely the wording of the jokes themselves, but the spontaneous things that happen in the room on the night.
Yes.
So the last time I was here in this seat was the night before I brought Organ Freeman, the kidney donation show I wrote to Vicar Street. And I worked and crafted this thing and carved it down to, you know, the streamlined story of heartbreak and hilarity, I felt. And, you know, there wasn't a dry eye in the house at the end, and awareness got raised. And at the start of the show, a fella arrived in late and I took his jacket off him and took the piss out of the jacket on stage. And afterwards, people got in touch and said, Jerry, that was a great show. The bit with the jacket at the start.
The bit with the jacket. That's it. And after all your hard work and fine-tuning and honing and all that.
That went in as well. But you know, like you said, the spontaneity is the...
So it's Friday, 6th of March.
Yes.
And it's Notions 11.
Notions 11.
How many of the podcasts have you done?
337.
Are you running out of people?
Actually, no. What's happening now is it's getting harder to get the ones you really want. I mean,
yeah.
Liam Neeson, Saoirse Ronan, and Farrell. Are the kind of Hollywood, Ruth Negga, that you really want now. Because the list of, just in that sector of acting people.
It's very difficult to get those people.
Exactly. And they have a lot to lose. If they do a long form interview and we go in deep and then something comes out. But like, I guess that's part of the trust.
Have you done those? No, aspired to
those.
They're
the ones you want. I mean, like we've got the Gabriel Byrnes, the Chris O'Dowds, the Lenny Abramsons of that sector. Mm. And, you know, then the list doesn't get shorter because then there's Niamh Alagar, incredible new Irish actress in this new movie, Camel
Jessie
Horses.
Buckley.
So many great new Irish talents emerging. So people have asked me since day one, you'll run out of guests. As long as the Irish keep there was dominating the world.
I read an article before the BAFTAs, the Friday before the BAFTAs, and it says Saoirse Ronan will be touching shoulders with Hollywood A-listers. But I thought we'd got over this as a nation, this inferiority complex.
Yeah, the little bit of
like, what do you have to do? She's been nominated for 4 Oscars. What do you have to do?
I don't know. To be considered
a Hollywood A-lister in the eyes of
your shoulders countrymen. To be A-list shoulders. Yeah,
right, yeah,
yeah. I don't know. It you know, I've probably had a greater education to the community of Irish people abroad from doing this that I never expected to learn just how supportive we are when we go away. So that's the kind of mad part of that we support each other once we're outside the country. Yeah. But when you're back here, it's a little bit like, yeah, but you're still, you know, you still did the community games at Mosney. And
did you?
We'll never forget that. I did, yeah.
Right. What was it? Was it theatre? Because the theatre is in the community games, isn't it? It wasn't theatre. Was it a sport?
I did basketball. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Basketball obsessed, Kildare and... Yeah, basketball.
Did you win a medal
in Kildare? No, we came close, but we won. Yeah, we won in All Ireland. Newbridge was big basketball town.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. So that's happening, right? The podcast is ongoing. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get Saoirse Ronan, Liam Neeson, Colin Farrell, and Ruth Nega.
Yeah, we'll get them eventually.
They don't listen to the show that I know of, but you never know.
Never know. Yeah.
And are you writing another book?
So I released 2 books of drawings that I did about 10 years ago, and they were just like silly kind of greeting cards that I used to make myself. I published 2 of them, and I guess as the result of the Celtic Tiger, you kind of let it go. You kind of cast it adrift and go, well, you know, we've got to get serious here and try and feed this family.
Yeah.
But it came back into my life because my little boy, who's now 9, is obsessed with the drawing. And I kind of reconnected with all of that, and now I've written another show outside of this one that's coming to Vicar Street called Drawings, that's just about that. And kind of, I guess, in the time of arts cuts and stuff, it's about actually, just because something doesn't make a huge amount of money doesn't make it worthless.
Have you got a screen? Are you going to show your drawings?
The
and talk
projection
through them?
And all of that. Yes.
Are line drawings or sketches?
Yeah, so they're
or
kind of doodles is the way.
Doodles,
people
right.
want to have a look at them, go to jigsaw.com, it's my website. But like, they're... They don't make much sense as a...
Make much money?
None. And you know, there's some... Like, that's a question that my parents would have asked. That's the question I was asked about the podcast.
Oh, does it make money? Sorry.
How are you going to make a living on a free radio show?
Yeah, well, you see, I'm from a working class background, so that's an important question for me.
But
yeah.
You also are from the background of a father who cares for... You know, youngsters, right? You want people just, your mom and dad want you to do things that'll keep you safe. And I guess I was advised not to do the podcast by older people because they were like, well, sure, there's no money in that. And turns out there is.
Yeah. And what about you being a father your 9-year-old? Has that changed over the last 9 years?
As you know, that is the challenge, right? Because when you start out, you think, this is the most difficult. These are the most difficult problems I will ever face in parenting. Young Mikey is not walking at 13 months. Yeah. No, he walked earlier than that, but there's a period where you're worried about him. You're like, I had a parent say to me at pickup, we're very worried about Alfie. He's not walking. He's 13 months and he is bum shuffling everywhere.
It's the cutest thing in the world, bum shuffling.
It's the cutest thing. If anyone doesn't know what bum shuffling is, it's basically, you know, when you see a dog wiping his arse by pulling himself along on the ground using his front paw.
Kids do that. And some children go straight from bum shuffling to walking.
And others do the rolling. They simply roly-poly around the room.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a beautiful time. But equally, this woman was very worried. And with Mikey being 9, I mean, you can't help but feel when you're starting to face the 9-year-old problems that, like, bum shuffling... I mean, really, is it a problem?
No.
Like, how many people do we see bum shuffling around Dublin?
Here's bad news, Hugh Gerlitz. People keep telling me, oh, wait till they're 14 and 15. Wait till they're 14 and 15. Second year is the year.
It's the
worst year ever. You think it's been bad? No, wait till you second year.
People love doing that.
Yes.
Isn't that the doomsayer loves going?
But that's an Irish thing as well.
That's easy, no?
Yeah.
Wait till you see.
Wait, no. Did you ever do CPR training?
No, should I?
No, I was just telling them at the beginning of the show that I did a CPR course last night.
How'd it go?
Look, if you're going to have a heart attack in my company, today is the best day. Today is the best day because it's fresh. It's fresh. Yeah, and I know where the defibrillator is upstairs.
Okay.
So and David did it up and he's upstairs. He's listening. So if you, you know, unfortunately had a heart attack, right, David will be down in 2 seconds.
But how is this not taught in schools? Yeah. Of all the things we learn in schools, like all the stuff I learned in business studies.
Now that you say it, my 13-year-old daughter did do it last week or the
right.
before.
And did you have to kiss
in
it all?
In her secondary school? Yeah. The defibrillator comes with a mask thing that you put on to the person.
Okay.
And now what they're saying is, and I can say this
because of coronavirus.
With confidence. No, but because it's fresh in my mind.
Okay.
Back in the day, they thought that the breathing thing was the most important thing. Now they know that compression is the most important
thing. Okay, the cardiac massage.
Yeah, so even if you don't blow into the person's mouth, you're giving them a very good chance of survival with just with this
right.
compression.
So that was just some pervy little factor.
No, I don't think it was, Charles. I think that's what science suggested at the time. And as you well know, science changes its mind over the years, doesn't it?
Who figured that out, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
Some fella woke up and went, you know, that shifting you were doing on me wasn't helping, but the chest compression was pretty helpful. Yeah, yeah.
So what else is happening then? So you're shooting this thing on March the 6th.
Yeah.
You're writing a book, your doodles, and you're bringing that to stage as well.
Yes. Honest to God, the spinning of those plates is...
Enough.
Enough. Like, yeah. Essentially, you know, trying to do it all... is essentially the source of anxiety for all of us, is trying to stay on top of it, right? So this year, I gave it a whirl after years of having people, and my sisters included, who are both yoga teachers themselves, I gave it a swing, right? I gave the hot yoga a go.
Oh, did you? Right.
I did give it a go. I don't know if you tried it.
I haven't tried hot yoga. I've done yoga.
Well, your first instinct, Ray, is it's too hot. It's too hot in here. They need to open a window. It's 29 degrees. You think, I don't need to do any exercise in here. I'm going to
lose
weight like this. But like you're presented with a bunch of stuff that you need to work through. First of all, you're a conservative Catholic man who was raised in a country where Playboy wasn't sold until 1994. And people aren't wearing many clothes, right? And they're bending over in front of each other. Right. I wouldn't bend over to pick up my keys in front of you, right?
You'd be safe enough now.
I swear to God. I worked through first of all, it was a lot of shame weight was what I was carrying, being shamed into eating at Christmas, and worked off the guts of 8 to 9 kilos.
Did
in
you?
The space of a couple
doing
of
hot yoga.
Doing this. Yeah, so that's a big part of the show, right?
Right,
to
okay.
Be honest.
Right.
People want to hear more about
Notions
that.
Notions 11.
Notions 11, Vicar Street, March 6th, Friday week.
You were in our thoughts a lot at the end of last year because we did Stand Up and Be Funny.
Yes.
And you were one of the finalists in Go On Be Funny.
Yes.
Which is
first.
How many years ago? Is it 15 years ago?
It's a while because I was still at university at the time.
Yeah.
And it was really my first time doing stand up, and the same for Maeve Higgins. And, you know, it changed our lives, right?
Yeah, there you go.
It's mad.
Sinead, who won, brilliant. The four finalists were all very good. Like, the standard. Yeah. And we had, of the four finalists, we had three women and one man. And I think it was the opposite back in the day. Three men and Maeve Higgins.
Isn't it, like, there's a big chat in comedy at the moment that it's harder to do comedy now because Jesus, people are so offended so easily. Was that an issue?
There were a couple, well, more than a couple, of sharp intakes of breath.
Okay.
And I think people were doing it because they thought they had to, as opposed to, you know, yeah.
Well, it gets clicks and it draws attention.
Is it difficult for you?
I kind of don't go along with that. I don't believe that it's harder. I just think that if you're the kind of person that writes jokes that can only make people laugh by hurting other people, you need to have a look at how you're doing it.
That's a lot of people, though.
It's a lot of people, right?
And that's another day's conversation.
It definitely is.
But I'm just thinking of one person particularly in my head. I won't mention his name.
Yeah, but you've got to be conscious of people. Like, at the end of the day, a lot of stuff was said when we were younger. And around that time when I first started with you, I mean, it was a loosey-goosey, go for your life, sure, we'll see what happens. And we're just a bit more conscious
of
other people.
Different
time. And that's a good thing.
Jared Regan, Notions 11 is on March the 6th. In Vicar Street, and wear your best clobber because you'll be filmed.
You will, yeah,
and you may appear on Netflix in the future.
Exactly.
If it all goes to plan. Yeah. Jared, great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Mind yourself. That's it from us. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.